result of 1:30 race.
Result of 1:30. Oh, insert stop press. Result of 1:30.
Hampton Town.
Evening news. Evening news. Thanks, mate. Rising latest. Rising latest.
Yeah, give us a copy, lad.
Oh, evening, Mr. Evans.
Now.
I tipped the winner, then.
Winner? I've tipped 1,000 winners.
Educated Evans by Edgar Wallace. Narrated by Freddie Jones. Starring Roy Hudd as Evans, Andrew Sachs as Inspector Pine, Michael Roberts as the Miller, and Pat Coombs as Mrs. Rankin. This week's episode, A Matched Pair.
It can sometimes happen in any high street, and the high street Camden Town is no exception, that two old friends pass with only the faintest shrug between them. It even occurred that Educated Evans, tipster, and Joe Tasket, landlord of the Dog and Kettle, passed in this way for a full 3 days. The landlord took a certain pride in being a self-made man. Moreover, having no one else to blame for his condition, he was often at some pains to hide his one chief shortcoming.
Gladys, read me this invoice, would you? Darned if I can find my specs.
Oh, still missing, are they, Mr. Tasket? Well, there's the thing.
It might perhaps have been expected that Joe, whose schooling was slight, would eventually fall out with the educated Evans.
Much more churning of this handle and my shoulder's done for. Oh!
Evans had that day purchased a most singular item of professional equipment. The miller had been invited to inspect it, and the tipster was somewhat anxious for its performance.
Oh, no. Oh, something's not right. Oh, where's them instructions? Now, write announcement on wax paper with stylo provided. Done it. Affix wax paper to machine. Done it. Next, I simply turn this handle. And then... Oh, my shoulder. Oh, and ink all over the shop.
I got your message, Evans.
Eh? Oh.
Well, I'm triggered.
Oh, Mr. Miller, you're just in time. You see, a machine's a little marvel.
Oh, yes.
Detective Sergeant Challoner was known as the Miller from his custom of chewing a straw. The straw was presently dangling from his open mouth.
Some scrapyard saw you coming, Evans. Whatever is it?
The Apex patent duplicator, Mr. Miller. A winner if ever there was one. Now, I simply turn this handle, my circular for the little Hampton Hurdle just rolls off the drum.
What's rolled off, Evans, is one grubby sheet with a solid oblong of violet ink on it.
Oh, no.
Easy instructions.
Hmm.
Hmm. Should be easy enough. There's a picture here of a pretty little girl working it.
Yes. I'd like to meet that child. She must practice weightlifting in her spare moments.
This circular's dud, so what's your tip? Tiger Moth or Valentina?
Ah, no, Mr. Miller. This first leaflet is simply an, advertisement. My professional services, you understand. They're fully described.
Are they now?
Yeah, I'll say this much, though. Tiger Moth or Valentino, it will be. The actual goods, Mr. Miller, well, he'll be named in my, later leaflet.
Find an oil can, then. We'd better get this heap of second-hand ironmongery working.
Yeah, we'd be better off finding that pretty little girl.
Hmm. It was late in the evening before the miller left Evans with his first pile of quite legible, if somewhat blotchy, circulars.
There now.
Evans, his overcoat pockets crammed with the circulars, made straight for the Dog and Kettle. That evening, the landlord, Mr. Tasket, had sacked his third barmaid in a month. All three had shown a pertinent interest in Joe's missing spectacles.
There's your stout, Nobby.
Oh, cheers, Joe.
And who's next? Evening, Mr. Tasket. A mere half of the usual. I'm not long.
Evans.
Well, it just happens I've a circular about my person. Yes, the little Hampton Hurdle. You might care for a look.
Business that bad, is it? Since when have you needed circulars?
A little additional service for favoured clients, Mr. Tarskett. As was said by the celebrated Sir Frank Drake. And dropping his coat in a puddle for Queen Bess at the time he was. A bit of the consideration don't cost nothing.
That's as may be.
And there's your leaflet. I think you'll find it an interesting read.
Will I now? Whatever is this nonsense, Evans? It's all over splotches.
Well, there's been no skimping on the ink, Mr. Tarskett, true. But every word on that circular is quite readable.
That's an insinuation, Evans. Just what are you getting at?
Nothing, Mr. Tarskett. I simply meant that most people can read what is written down.
What's that? Insulted to my face? You come in here flaunting your education, Evans, mocking honest folk just because they can't,
Yes, Mr. Tarskett?
Well, if I hadn't mislaid my specs, I'd be able to read this in no time.
Oh, well, of course you could.
Here's a drink, Evans, and I'll thank you to down it. We're nearly closing.
Mr. Tarskett! Well, well, well. The man can't read. I've had blinkers on.
And Evans, feeling that Tarskett had behaved most unreasonably, hastily emptied his glass and left.
Fancy that. Joe Tarskett, illegitimate. Can't read a word.
It was unfortunate that Evans was so preoccupied on leaving the Dog and Kettle. Stretched out by the horse trough was a grey-bearded gentleman. The position was not uncommon. For old Sam.
Oh, God. Whatever's that? Oh.
You blighter. Watch where you're going there.
Why, it's old Sam. And too much taken as usual.
Oh, Evans, is it? Oh, could you pass over a few coppers, Evans?
Hey?
I've not had a sup all evening.
A few coppers? 3 solid winners you owe me for, Sam. And here's you drunk on the profits.
Oh, you're a charlatan, Evans.
A charlatan? Get out of it. Here's your drink then, Sam. Go on, have some of that.
I'm so through.
Yeah, now you sober up and get off home. It'll be safer for everybody.
Joe Tarskett might easily have come to overlook the matter of Evans, but not long after the tipster's departure, old Sam appeared in the bar. His pint of mild was purchased with a full half-crown.
God, that Evans told me I owed him money. Why, Joe, I'd never be in this state if he weren't for trusting his tips.
True enough, Sam. Educated Evans.
Yeah, and there's another thing. Educated? Pah! I've heard all his so-called education comes out of a book.
Would that be so?
Step right on my shin and then soaks me. God, I'm still suffering.
That tipster needs showing up.
Oh, I'm with you, Joe.
And don't fret, shown up he will be, Sam. Shown up he will be.
On the following morning, at Critchley Street police station, the miller was still in hope of a clue from a certain leaflet.
A long-odd certainty. Nah, it's just not enough to go on.
I'm challenging off.
Inspector Pine, sir.
And what might that be you're examining so closely, sir?
This circular, sir. Yes, it's by way of being, hard evidence, sir.
Oh, splendid. Bring it through to my office, sir. We need to discuss my new campaign.
New campaign?
Well, son, matters are getting worse.
Indeed, sir. Which matters exactly?
Why, the devil's own brew, son. Alcohol.
Oh.
Well, only last night I came upon in retrospect, it was an inspiring vision. A poor, white-haired old man stretched out by a horse trough.
Really, sir?
Oh, pitiful wretch. A half-crown was required simply to grant him bed and board for the night.
I see. Actually, that would be old Sam, sir. He lives just round the corner from the Dog and Kettle.
Nonsense, Sergeant. He said he'd not seen a proper bed in weeks. He was gasping for a mug of cocoa.
Yes, sir.
Chalner, until my campaign has the requisite funds to assist these lost souls, I suggest you offer them some cautionary advice.
Of course, sir.
Now, there's some evidence.
Indeed. I fear the abhorrent business of the tipster is still practised, sir.
Now, there's a... Educated Evans. Oh, yeah, that's an old hand, eh? Oh, the little Hampton Hurdle. A long odds certainty.
Despicable document, sir. It's most unfortunate that tipping's still legal.
Yes, quite, yes. Well, just leave this with me, son. I'll look at it.
Of course, sir.
Yeah. The winner, I've got it, a certainty. Long odds, too.
Evans himself had set off that morning on a rather circuitous route for Stubbins' coffee shop. His anxiety to avoid Joe Tescott meant the bypassing of all possible entrances to the Dog and Kettle, and the tipster was somewhat breathless upon his arrival.
Oh, dodged him.
One coffee and a plate of toast, Ken.
Coming up.
Oh, Tescott, it can't be true.
Evans.
Forget that order, Ken. I'm all.
Oh, yes. I wasn't thinking of stopping, Ken, but I dare say I might now. The air seems to be clearing. Hillerstein. Ken, a cup of your best and one of them Chelsea's, please, mate.
Coming up.
Joe Tarskett. He's a threat to a man's well-being.
Now, one Chelsea fan.
Morning, Evans.
What's that? Why, Mr. Miller, sir?
Tarskett seemed pleased to see you.
And what pleases a man or doesn't please him is hardly my concern, Mr. Miller. It's one big palaver over nothing.
So I'd heard.
A cup and a bun.
I'll do that, Evans.
Oh, the most civil, Mr. Miller.
It's the least I can do. I'm afraid Inspector Pine's got hold of your little Hampton circular.
Has he now? Well, what of it? Tipping's still legal?
Joe Tascott's been saying you've no idea of the winner.
Never. Well, scoffing might, Mr. Miller. But that'll change when I names the nag. It's four square on the map. This horse could stop for a nosebag and take 40 winks, he'd still win.
Maybe, Evans, but which horse?
And now you'll excuse me, but I've my formal announcement to compose.
Hey, Paul, I said Chimalai, not Seven-Eye.
That day, Joe Tascott was bound for Kennington. The sole purpose of this trip was a timely visit to an ailing but wealthy aunt. On learning of her demise that very morning, however, the good man faced up to his grief and, pausing only to check that his aunt's will was in order, made straight for the stalls bar of a nearby music hall.
Oh, another brandy, barman.
Right away, sir.
Come along, ladies and gentlemen. Any question at all, ma'am?
Make it a large one.
Not enjoying the act, sir.
What's that? Oh, yes, the act.
Someone must have a question.
Oh, she's very, pretty.
Well, quite. That's why I booked her. I'm the manager here, actually.
Oh, Joe Tarskett myself. Mm. Pleased to meet you.
How many winners did Fred Archer ride in 1883?
Oh, a bit of a memory turn, is she?
That it? Lizo, the human encyclopedia.
In 1883, Fred Archer rode 232 winners. The following year, he rode 241, and he rode 246 in 1885.
Ah, most impressive. Someone with a genuine education.
Yes. Can't think how she got it. Used to be a barmaid before she took this up.
Was she now?
Come along, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody must have another question.
Why don't you bring the comic back?
Well, she'll be back with the bottled beers before she realises. I'll have to pay her off.
You're finishing her?
She's got the bird. I'll have to.
How very unfortunate. Yes. I wonder, would there be any chance of meeting this, human encyclopedia in person?
The employment of Lizo, otherwise known as Miss Betty, provided Joe Tascott with a barmaid. More importantly, however, she provided the most apposite means of getting even with Evans.
Come on.
In Bayham Mews, for the moment, the tipster had a more pressing concern than Joe Tascott. Evans was gazing at his circular with somewhat less enthusiasm.
A long, odd certainty. The winner, I've got it. Oh, dear. Yeah, Valentino or Tiger Moth.
In truth, Evans had no idea which horse might win the Littlehampton hurdle. Oh, dear. The barber of Valentino's owner and the butler of Tiger Moth's were sending him telegrams almost daily, but they all contained information in need of decoding. Each owner fancied his own horse, but to keep their odds long, both were decrying them.
Well, it stands to reason. Whichever horse gets down the most, that'll be the one with the best chance. Now, where's some telegrams? Ah, here we go. Valentino off fodder and playing up. Stop. Jockey now has broken arm. Tiger Moth has raging fever. Stop. May not last the night. Oh, neck and neck. They're both still possible winners. Oh, dear.
Finally, Evans rose, and checking that his overcoat pockets were complete with at least one cigar stub, he slowly left Bayham Mews for that haven where his thoughts turned more freely, the Regent's Canal. On the towpath at Hampstead Road Lock, the tipster paused.
Valentino or Tiger Moth?
A short distance along the canal, another man was engaged in a personal debate of a rather different nature.
Oh, certainty, yes, yes. A bet, of course, is a bet, and under no circumstances could one entertain the matter of gambling. But then, certainty. If no risk exists, yes.
Inspector Pine was returning home for a most important meeting. The good Mrs. Rankin had already been summoned there.
The Mortimer Pine anti-alcohol campaign.
Evans had started crumbling the pastry and was throwing the pieces one by one to the bobbing ducks.
Tiger Moth, Valentino. Tiger Moth and the last bit, Valentino. That's the winner, then. Valentino it is.
Oh, an idyllic scene.
Who's it? Why, Inspector Pine, sir.
One seldom imagines you in such a setting, Evans. Far from racetrack and public hostelry and feeding the ducks. I was, as it happens, Evans, wondering if you could enlighten me on one point.
Enlighten you, sir?
My question is, of course, quite hypothetical.
Oh, well, then rest assured, Inspector. If there's one thing I understand, it's an hypothesis. Some even say I've got a knack.
Yes, I'm fully convinced, Evans. In respect of the, Little Hampton Hurdle, was it? Oh. Yes, I believe you know of a certainty.
Oh, yeah, well, I most assuredly do, Inspector. And if this horse don't win by the length of the Holloway Road, I'm no tipster.
He'll doddle it. And which runner would it be?
I beg pardon?
Well, I simply asked, Mr. Evans, which runner in the Little Hampton Hurdle you regarded as a certainty?
Well, Inspector,
The tipster had suddenly found himself at a loss. As a professional man, never in his long years of experience had anyone asked such a direct question without first reaching at least a gentleman's agreement as regards recompense.
This hypothetical question, Inspector, it is strictly between ourselves.
Oh, most certainly.
Well, it's Valentino.
Valentino?
Valentino, a certainty if ever there was one.
Oh, then my curiosity in the matter is quite satisfied, Evans. Do regard the subject as closed. Good day to all.
Well, if that's a fair exchange, Inspector, you might as well serve peace pudding, call it trifle, and still expect your guests to be grateful.
The tipster's sense of injustice was keen, but even this was assuaged by his newfound conviction that Valentino would indeed win the Littlehampton Hurdle. It was a far more ebullient Evans who made his way towards Stubbins' coffee shop.
Miss Betty, eh? She sounds quite a barmaid, sir.
Facts and figures at her fingertips. All of them accurate, too.
Well, well, Mr. Miller. And yes, old Sam. You won't mind sharing, I take it?
Not at all, Evans.
The miller here has been inquiring after Joe Taskett's new barmaid.
Joe Taskett. Sam, as was laid down in the Magnum Charter by Ollie Cromwell, 1066, if you recall, no man need suffer a barrel of nonsense.
Oh, would that be so?
Still, you reckon this Miss Betty's rather a fine, Sam. She seems quite an educated young woman.
Educated?
You said it, Miller. Never come across a memory like it.
Get out of it.
History, geography at her fingertips, racing.
Racing?
A human guide to the turf, this Miss Betty.
You what?
She put a man to shame.
Oh, would she now?
Yeah.
Well, Sam, there's some men who aren't likely to be showed up.
Oh, I doubt that, Evans. Fact is, I'm off back to listen to her.
You what?
No one's caught Miss Betty out yet.
Well, Sam, it might just happen. Yeah, come to think of it, I'd have dropped in tonight anyhow. A small matter regarding the Littlehampton hurdle.
You can't mean it.
Oh, yes, Mr. Miller. I've got the winner.
Oh, Ken's just bringing your Chelsea.
And this tip will cost you more than a Chelsea, Mr. Miller. It is the goods.
Inspector Pye, meanwhile, was outlining his plans to Mrs. Rankin at Arlington Road. She was, however, somewhat perturbed by the Mortimer Pine anti-alcohol campaign.
Free cocoa, Inspector Pine? I ask you, it's the wherewithal. Free cocoa and what sort of biscuits had you in mind?
As ever, Mrs. Rankin, I'm quite happy to leave such details to yourself. The wherewithal, as you put it, will be provided.
I see.
Speaking of which, I fear I have a most urgent call to make from the station. You've quite finished your tea?
No, I barely touched it.
Well, as I'm on my way, Mrs. Rankin, I'll see you to the door myself.
No.
I suggest we begin our work this very evening and visit a number of hostelries to ascertain just how many poor souls may need our help.
It's most short notice.
We'll need to calculate our exact requirements in terms of cocoa.
Indeed, Inspector.
Valentina.
I beg pardon?
Tonight at 7 o'clock, shall we say? The Nag's Head. Till then, Mrs. Rankin.
Well, Valentino, the man's sickening for something.
Evans, his overcoat pockets once more bulging with circulars, was making his way to the darkened kettle.
New barmaid. It'll take more than her cheek to keep me away from my clients.
The bar was already crowded. Many had learnt of the tipster's possible return from old Sam, and no small number from Vanilla.
Evening, all.
Oh, there now, come. It's not been that long.
Well, Educated Evans. We've had our differences, but no one harbours a grudge, eh?
That's not my way, Mr. Tarskett. I'd take as my example Samson's hairdresser, Dahlia. She harboured grudges. It's said, you know, that she had callus engraved on her heart.
What a display of erudition, Mr. Evans. Have a drink on the house.
Oh!
Our new barmaid will serve you.
Really, that's most generous, Mr. Tarskett.
Miss Betty, over here, if you would.
Oh, come in, Mr. Tarskett.
Here we go.
Betty, meet Educated Evans.
Oh! Always a pleasure to meet a true gentleman, Mr. Evans. What's it to be?
Well, I was considering sherry, Miss Betty. Mm-hmm. But then it's usually too sec for me. Sec, of course, being the Latin word for sweet. Hence the word saccharine.
Oh, really, Evans? Well, Miss Betty?
Sec, of course, really means dry, Mr. Evans. And sherry, by the by, was first introduced into England in 1642.
Oh, very good.
43, Miss Betty. 43, sometime in fact before the Thames froze over in 1714.
How interesting, Mr. Evans. It was 1742, of course, that it froze over at Richmond Bridge, and a whole ox was roasted on the ice near Putney in 1831.
Never. 1832, I think you'll find. 32, same year, in fact, that Diomedes won the derby.
Diomedes? He never won anything.
Ah, a different Diomedes altogether. I'm talking about the chestnut ridden by the far-famed Fred Archer.
Go it, Miss Betty.
Fred Archer was the champion jockey, born 1857, who won the Derby 5 times, the Oaks 4 times, and the St. Leger 6 times, before his most sad demise in 1886.
Oh, wow.
85, Miss Betty. 85. And that figure, multiplied by a certain unknown quantity, gives us the number of pennies put side by side that reach to the moon.
Oh,
the moon, of course, being surrounded by ether, while chloroform was invented by Dr. Foster. And gracious me, doctors reminds us of lewd creature Borgia, the female crippling of Italy, and the woman, in fact, who poisoned the far-famed Leonardo da Vinci, whose portrait's hanging in the British Museum. This said British Museum being founded by a kindly old gent who wanted folk to have somewhere to go when it's wet.
There was a brief moment in the bar when silence hovered, but it hovered like a thundercloud.
Damnation take the man.
Oh, look here, Mr. Evans. These facts you're giving us is all wrong. Mine are exactly right. I've learned every page of the Encyclopedia of General Knowledge by heart.
Have you now, Miss Betty?
Yes.
Well, I wrote it. And now, Mr. Tasket.
Yes, Evans.
Why don't you have a drink? It's on me.
The miller had watched the duel from behind a settle. His straw had dropped to the matting.
Well done, Evans.
Two late arrivals, however, were standing in a state of some shock by the main door.
Oh, no.
Son Challoner.
Yes, it is indeed, Inspector Payne.
Good evening, Inspector.
Evans?
I've been wondering about that hypothetical question of yours, Inspector. It just struck me you might have had a hypothetical bet.
A bet, Inspector Payne?
I can assure everyone that I personally have placed no bet.
It's a shame about that, sir.
Excuse me, Inspector. Duty call.
Goodbye, Mr. Miller. And I'll be seeing you, Inspector. Pity about that bet. Yes. Valentino, you'll be missing out on some hypothetical winnings.
Inspector, I think there's one or two questions what should be answered.
Questions, Mrs. Rankin?
Yes.
Of what possible nature?
On the following afternoon, Evans strolled with no little swagger to Hampstead Road Lock. Retrieving a copy of that day's Evening News from his pocket, he turned again to the stop press. The Littlehampton Hurdle.
Yeah.
Oh, what a winner.
Afternoon, Evans.
Oh, I thought you might be around, Mr. Miller.
You've seen the Littlehampton result?
Oh, I have indeed. Valentino lost.
Lost, Evans? He came last. Just recovering from a sprained tendon, they said.
Well, 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 an owner telling the truth. Unheard of, Mr. Miller. Worth a tipping, though, wasn't he?
No, Grant. Pine's face. He put 20 quid on it.
20? Oh, dear. Some people, you know, Mr. Miller, they just get far too devious for their own good.
Do they know?
Yes, and another example, Joe Tasket. What's tipping a wrong un compared to last night, eh? Educated Evans beats human encyclopedia. Yes. Mr. Miller, take the far-famed Confucius, take Sammy Johnson, Sir Zack Newton, line them up, and I reckon Educated Evans would give them all something to think about. And that is a fact.
As you say, Evans. As you say.
The miller listened for some while as Evans relived his triumph of the night before. Eventually, however, he gently turned the conversation to a possible winner for the next day's 2:30. He was somewhat surprised when the tipster rummaged in his pocket, pulled out an elderly Chelsea bun, and proceeded to feed the ducks.
You've been listening to Educated Evans by Edgar Wallace, dramatised by Richard Quick, and narrated by Freddie Jones, starring Roy Hudd, Andrew Sachs, Michael Roberts and Pat Coombs, with David Batley as Joe Tasket, Elizabeth Mansfield as Miss Betty and Simon Treves as Old Sam. The music was by Philip Glassborough and Rick Cardinale, and the programme was produced and directed by Dirk Maggs.